You've heard me talk about CTC Math for some time now, but have you tried it out yet? CTC Math provides online video tutorials that make learning math easy and effective. This online math program uses creative graphics and animation that are sure to grab and keep your child's attention. Start your free trial today by visiting ctcmath.com. That's ctcmath.com. Hey everyone, this is Yvette Hampton. Welcome back to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. I know that there are so many other podcasts that you could be listening to right now, and I'm truly honored that you've chosen to listen to this one. This is part two of my interview with Leslie Richards from The Homegrown Preschooler. Enjoy. Let's talk about, so we've talked about kind of how to deal with little ones, maybe when you've got older ones. Did you have your older kids? I know a lot of moms who have multiple kids, they will kind of set aside a time of day to homeschool one of the older children, you know, maybe from, you know, one to two or whatever. And while mom is focusing on that one child, the other kids or one of the other kids will play with the younger ones. Did you do that with your kids?
I did. Yes. There were years where I had schedules where, and that's one of the things with our curriculum that we really recommend that parents do. And we've tried to write our curriculum so that an older sibling is very picture rich, can figure it out and lead a child through the activity. And so at the point where I realized that I couldn't do it all, I started assigning, like, and I did it by what the other kids needed. And so, like, for example, I have Wild Boy who was probably the most resistant to traditional sit down at your desk schoolboy. And I could tell you stories about him like all day long, but he was basically a little blonde ping pong ball that never stopped talking, just monologued all day long. And so his job was to plan some kind of outdoor adventure for Rosie in the backyard. And so I could count on him keeping her busy for 30 minutes. And then he would pass her off to the 15-year-old and he would do science with her. And he is my one with autism. And so he needed lots of sensory stuff still. And so he would do like the science and sensory things with her. And so my oldest, the year before she went to college, she taught the 5-year-old how to read. And that was a really beautiful, sweet way for her to spend that time with the little one. And I think they're still very close as a result of that time that they had together.
So. Yeah. Yeah. Because they build that bond with one another and they have something that they can relate to, because it's hard for a 15-year-old and a 5-year-old to relate to each other. But when they have something that they can have in common, it really does build that bond between them. And I think that's such a great way to do that. I want to talk about educating preschoolers. And I know that you talk about, and actually talk about your book, because I know you've actually written the book on preschool, but how to provide a rich education for our preschoolers. How can we do that? Because that's a big question. You know, what do I need to teach my preschooler? What do they need to know by the time they get into kindergarten? And there's all of the questions, and moms constantly feel like we're not doing enough. And it doesn't matter if our child is 3 weeks old or 3 years old. We always feel like we're just somehow not keeping up with everyone else. So answer that question for those mamas.
And society is so good at making mothers feel inferior, right? And incapable. Yeah. I don't know what that is, but I would just say that especially, first of all, you can give them a wonderful education by staying one day ahead of them. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people are like, I'm not smart, I don't have a college degree, and I can't. It's like, you can stay one day ahead of kindergarten, like, right, and just keep moving one day ahead and you'll be okay. And there's all kinds of great resources to come along the way. And I really didn't feel like I had a great education. And I will say for sure that, oh my goodness, educating my children opened all. I would have never written a book if I hadn't started educating my children at home. It just opened doors to me where I felt like I was capable of learning, just like them. And so, and that's something else I want to talk about as well, is how moms can model that learning.
Yeah.
But I think for the little ones especially, the way that God designed the human brain, little kids know what they need. They really do. And so I think that if you have a great environment in your home where you've kind of thought through, you know what, they need stuff to build with. And so you have a few building toys that they can cycle in and out of, you know, like I would move things around. They have sensory play. They have a place to be busy outside and moving heavy things and playing in the mud and doing that kind of thing. They need a place where they can read and write, like a little writing center. They need dress up. Like dress up is the best thing. Dress and let them go to the store with you.
Oh, yes.
Just like a dragon or a tiger, because they won't do that when they're 14.
Yeah, we would go to thrift stores frequently when my girls were little, and we would find just whether they were like pretty flower girl dresses that someone had donated or whatever. My girls are, they're both girly girls. And so they really enjoy dressing up like princesses and things like that. As a matter of fact, literally as we speak right now, my youngest is out back with a friend having a tea party, and they are both wearing makeup and high heels and fancy dresses. And it's so sweet. I know, it's so fun. And I was just thinking, I love that she still enjoys doing that.
It's almost Halloween. Day after Halloween, yeah. Everything's half off at Target. So you can get firemen and doctors right. And, I mean, all kinds of costumes the day after Halloween. I would go and stock up with whatever I could for especially for boys, because it's a little, I mean, girls are easier, I think. But
yeah. So what is it that a preschooler needs to know? Like, what do we teach them? What, you know, I mean, we have our checklist, and I'm asking this because I happen to have some insider information, having had two girls now, and they're now 10 and 14, to know that they learn stuff so naturally. But I remember when my oldest was in, well, it was her first year of kindergarten, and I laminated all my stuff. I mean, I had my month, you know, months of the year and my days of the week. And I mean, like, and if it had to be laminated for whatever reason in my mind, it had to be colorful and laminated. And I just felt like I had to have all of these things lined up and in place in order to move forward. And then I realized with my younger one, she didn't need all that. Like, she just kind of picked up on stuff along. And I did teach her things, of course. You know, it's not like I didn't teach her anything, but she was in preschool. So I didn't need to have a preschool curriculum, is I think where I'm going with this. And I think so many of us think that we need to have this preschool curriculum that tells us exactly our scope and sequence for the year of preschool when they're three. And I see these moms post up these questions and just say, oh my goodness, what do I teach? My child's three, and what do I teach her? What does she need to know by the end of this year? And I'm like, she needs to be outside playing in the dirt. You know, that's what she needs. So answer that for those mamas who are worried that they're not teaching their kids enough.
Okay. Well, I will say they do not know how to read, or they don't need to know how to read when they're in preschool. And I feel like there's a lot of pressure, especially on that particular thing.
Right.
And I have learned so much. So I used to think that, like, my first two taught themselves to read, easy readers. And I thought, if your kid doesn't know how to read by the time they're five, you're some kind of homeschool slacker mom. Right. Like, I was so mean and judgmental about that.
And then God gave you three more kids.
Well, and I started research, and it's kind of fascinating. There's a part of the brain that actually has to fuse before that all makes sense. Because if you think about it, letters and sounds representing an idea or a person, place, or thing, that is a super abstract concept, such an abstract concept. And that abstract thinking does not start to build until these two parts of the brain fuse. And they fuse naturally between five and nine. Five is natural and nine is natural. It is a physical growth issue, just like children, one child being taller than another. And you would not expect that all children would be the same height in the same semester of kindergarten at all. So it's such an unrealistic expectation to have on children that everyone would read right then. So I think one of the things that's super important for people to understand is what is developmentally appropriate for your child.
Right.
And that that might not look exactly like Susie next door. Mm-hmm. We have kids that read at 4 and we have kids that read at 9. And right. you know what? All the studies say that by fifth grade, they've all leveled out and they're right. all the same. So that's something that people can get really, really worked up about, that everything happened on this time. And there's actually some negative things that you can that can happen if we push that mm-hmm. too early. Because that part of the brain isn't fused, the brain will compensate and it will use a really awkward workaround that feels very difficult. Mm-hmm. And so you don't want the brain to get kind of set in that awkward workaround so that when it does fuse, that's not the natural path anymore. And so so I think it's really important that moms understand that and just breathe a little bit. If your child has no interest whatsoever in learning their letters and their the sounds of the letters, back off.
Yep.
Try it again in a few months. And when they start pointing out letters mm-hmm. and start connecting, that thing says something. What does that one say?
Right.
And wanting to fill that out, that's kind of a sign that they're making that connection, that those letters actually mean something and represent something.
Yes.
And so I would say, watch your child. The other thing I would say is that when you wake up in the morning, like I don't believe in a curriculum that says, I think this is the worst possible thing you could do to a mother is give them a curriculum that says day one, right. do these 8 things with your child.
Right.
Right. And it usually involves cutting out 25 construction right. paper apples the night before, something ridiculous and oppressive to a mom, right? That's fine if you have 36 kids and a substitute and teacher work days, but we don't need that.
Right.
So anyway, I would say that the best day is when you wake up and you look at yourself and your energy level, because sometimes things happen. Kids throw up in the middle of the night, you don't sleep and you have nursing babies and all of that. And so I think it's important to look at your child and say, what do they need to be fed today? And then choose from a menu of activities. So maybe on those days when they're feeling more snuggly, you build a bear den out of blankets and you read all the hibernation books. And you put their snacks in baggies and hide them all over the house and let them forage for food like little animals, which that was my specialty when I was pregnant and nauseous and couldn't smell food. And they get so excited to do that. And they're totally happy just laying with you and reading books in a fort. Mm-hmm. But there's other days when I think to myself, okay, none of us are going to survive this unless we get out of this house and run full throttle. And so I might look at my little menu that I have for the month of things that I would like to accomplish and go, you know what? We have great weather today. So I'm going to call some friends and I'm going to send them the list of supplies for this activity. We'll all bring like a little activity to do together at the park. Mm-hmm. And that gives us our social time. But I think it's important to take a look at them and go, because I know there's my kids. I've looked at them some days and gone, okay, that list of 8 things is not going to happen right. today.
Yeah.
And I think it's important to honor that. And you're the expert on your kid. Yep. You know your child.
Right.
You know what they need.
Right.
You know what their soul needs. That's just such a beautiful thing, you know, to be able to do that and not follow this, you know, strict, do page one of this and this right. and that.
Right.
And the other thing that I think is critical, if you're going to homeschool your child, it is not school at home.
Right.
It is not a desk and a flag and all of that. It is not. And if you do that, I guarantee you, you'll do it for a year, maybe the first year, and then you'll trash it all. Yep. So don't spend the money. And what you do is you wake up every morning, and it's not always easy. I will tell you, this was very hard for me. You invite your child into your life and you try to develop more than anything, hospitality of self, and your child will learn a lot. And so I'll give you this one example. So little Rosie liked to wake up at the crack of dawn, and I don't know why, she could hear my eyelids flutter. She'd be like right there in my bed, you know, like, There's a child right there. So she wants to get up and be at it. And so I would stagger down the steps and have to make the coffee first thing. And so my goal at that point is to get the coffee into my veins as fast as possible. And letting her help is not on my agenda because it's going to take way longer and I'm going to have a mess. And maybe I can distract her with Dora while I make the coffee or something, you know. But really, the better thing to do is to let her come into the kitchen with me, to get her up on that chair and to fill the pot. And I want you to just think through this one act for a minute and think about how much a child would learn.
Yeah.
So you fill the pot, you're counting the cups.
Right.
You're dealing with the concept of things being level or not. Mm-hmm. Is it level to the line? Okay, we're putting it in there. We are scooping coffee and we're counting and we're smelling, and that's a big sensory activity. And then we're pushing the button and we're waiting for the drip, drip, drip sound, you know, and then she's maybe making her daddy's coffee the way he likes it. And we just had a minute where she explored mathematical concepts and some water and hand-eye coordination with scooping everything and then tidying up after herself and serving other people. We just did a whole bunch of things.
Right. You know? And built relationship in the midst of it with her.
Yes. And I could have said, nope, this is an adult thing.
Yeah.
This is not. And when I'm folding laundry, I might be folding and I might say, okay, first in half, then in quarters. And she's doing all the washcloths and we're doing fractions. Mm-hmm. And if you think about a worksheet for a minute,
yep.
Right? You're matching animal babies to mamas, right? Or you're counting, matching, you know, shoes to their mate. And you're doing these kind of things. But when you're folding laundry, I'll say, whose shirt is this? Whose socks are this? And she'll say, Luke's shirt. Luke, you know, when she's 18 months old, she's matching like clothes to people. I can't even remember whose is what, right. Especially with hand-me-downs. Like with hand-me-downs, how do you know who's what anymore? And so, but she can match them to people and help. And it was really a beautiful thing. So much of your everyday life, think about how many times a day you consult a calendar, you look at a clock. Mm-hmm. If you start talking through things with them, they do so much life and so much math and so much science with you. And you basically do first and second grade math and science all day long, all day long in your life. When you cook and you measure things and you figure out how much you need of things at the grocery store, you're doing first and second grade
everything
all day.
Yeah, you're doing first and second grade, not just math, but language arts and vocabulary and everything else that goes with it. And you're right. I mean, you're doing it out loud. There are so many opportunities that we have during the day to teach our kids. We don't need a workbook to put in front of our 3-year-old or 4-year-old or even 7-year-old and say, here's how you do this work. I mean, there are millions of ways to do that with our kids on a daily basis. You know, instead of saying, go grab that sock for me, you can say, go grab that red sock for me. You know, when, like I said, they're 18 months old or 2 years old, you know, instead of go get the green or go get the apple, you say, you know, go get the green apple, because then they're learning colors and they're learning their fruits and they're learning all those things. And the learning just comes naturally because God created their brains to want to know these things and to absorb information that they take in all around them. I mean, there's just so much going on in their little minds. And they're always learning. It's so amazing to me to realize what kids are learning when we don't even realize that we're teaching them. And you briefly talked about moms modeling learning for our kids. And we do that every single day.
Did you miss the 2020 Homegrown Generation Family Expo? If so, you can now have full access to the entire expo for just $10. You'll enjoy practical homeschooling encouragement, advice, and resources from many of your favorite homeschool leaders. Here are just a few of the testimonials from those who have enjoyed this online conference. Rachel said, "Best homeschool conference I have ever attended, filled my soul and definitely God-driven." Katie said, "This was absolutely amazing. The one thing that stood out to me about each session is that every single one pointed us back to Jesus, back to Him who is faithful." Register today for lifetime access to the entire conference for only $10 at homegrowngeneration.com. That's homegrowngeneration.com.
The other thing I want to throw in really quickly, and then I want to answer a few questions, is the importance of reading to our kids from the time they're itty bitty.
Absolutely.
You know, they, if our kids, and I love that you talk about kids being prepared, ready for reading. We don't need to prepare them at the age of 2 or 3 to read. If they're not interested in reading, they'll let you know when they're ready to start reading. But if you're reading to them all the time, they're going to be getting that language into their brains. And eventually they're going to want to pick up a book and figure out how to read it themselves. And and it's a natural thing. It's how God created their minds to work. And so moms need to just calm down. Don't worry so much about, you know, your 6-year-old who's not reading yet, or even your 7-year-old who's not reading yet. It will come, but you want them to learn to love the process of learning, not despise it. And when we push them to do things that their brains aren't ready for yet, they'll just hate learning, and we don't want that for them. So let's answer a few questions that we have that popped in. And if anyone else listening has more questions, we will try to get to them if we can. Let's see. So the first one says, my oldest is turning 5 and is wanting to learn to read and really good at math. My youngest is 18 months old, and I try to work with the 5-year-old during his nap time. However, the 5-year-old is cranky and goofing off at that time of day. I love that. And trying to do anything learning while the 18-month-old is up is a chaotic mess. How should I prioritize my 5-year-old learning alongside the 18-month-old?
I am a big fan of high chairs for 18-month-old. Like, if you have a 5-year-old, 18-month combination, that's hard because like 18 month olds, it's like they're walking around without a brain, just trying to die. And you're trying to work with another child, and you have to keep this 18 month old alive and happy and not loud and squawking. And I don't know why they screech like pterodactyls when they're 18 month old, and that is a rough thing at that point. But what I would do is I would have a basket of snacks and interesting things, and I would sit at the table with the 5-year-old and just keep passing things to that 18-month-old. That is going to pass. That is a rough stage. My probably one of my least favorite stages, because it's hard, but it's going to pass really quickly. Like, you'll be surprised, and you'll get out of that into a sweeter spot. The other thing with that 18-month-old is the 18-month-old will play for a long time in the bathtub. And so I would say bubble bath with the 18-year-old, sit on the bathroom floor, give them a popsicle, and do the phonics lesson.
If your 5-year-old is ready for the phonics lesson.
Yeah, if they're ready for the phonics lesson. Oftentimes they're not, but if they want to, you know, that's great. But I would say you definitely have to be creative with an 18-month-old. And so I have found that the bathroom, the 18-month-old is safe. They're engaged if there's water involved. And it's really going to depend too on the child, because there's some children, some of my children are perfectly fine playing by themselves. There's other children that really struggle being self-entertained. I have one who's like that, who cannot entertain herself to save her life. And she's like, I can't play dolls, I'm all alone. And I'm like, sure you can play dolls. You can go, hey, do you want to go to the store? Yes, I want to go to the store. You know, I was an old dog. I know all about that. You know, they don't tell me that. But anyway, that's a rough time. I give you my greatest sympathy about that. But it's short. It is short. Use your high chair. Use the tub for those short lessons. And also, even for the 5-year-old, it should be a short lesson.
Yeah.
So 10 to 20 minutes with the phonics lesson. Maybe you break it up into smaller chunks. Maybe it's special time when dad comes home. You know, maybe the afternoon is a little rougher, but maybe they're getting their second wind when dad comes home.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's something, maybe the phonics lesson gets done with dad. That's okay too, you know? So
homeschooling does not have to happen during the day.
No. And you can be really creative about it. And sometimes there were times where we did stuff in a big chunk on the weekend when my husband was around to play with the little one or take the other one on a trampoline. And we did a lot outside too. We did trampoline school all the time.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yep. Love that. Okay. Here's another question. Have you ever seen or worked with a child who isn't very sensory responsive? My five-year-old never liked messy substances, and any art activity he would be done with in about 5 minutes. He is an engineer brain and loves building, Legos, etc.
I think it's important, especially if they are resistant, to try to encourage them to be more exploratory with things. And I know some people, I am not a sensory person.
Mm-hmm. Like I'm not either.
The water beads that we have, I don't like touching them. I think they're like eyeballs and they're nasty. but like, they give me the heebie-jeebies, but there are some people that walk in there to that sensory stuff that are like, oh my gosh, I love it when dads come in there and like, oh, that's the best thing I've ever touched. I'm not like that. And that was fine probably with my mom, that I didn't want to get messy, but I do know what happens in the brain is a result of it. Mm-hmm. So I would say that there's ways. There's water is a lot more appealing to those children, mm-hmm. usually. So there's other ways to get that sensory stimulation. The other thing with those kind of kids is sometimes they need more deep pressure on the joints. And so I would do things like take the cushions off the couch. And it's funny because sometimes those same kids will have like crashing behavior. Well, they'll crash into people or they want to hug you really hard. And they have kind of this intense like physical thing about them. And so they need more pressure on the joints. So I would pull the cushions off the couch. I would pretend they were slices of bread and let them be a sandwich. And I would kind of roll. I'm going to put, you know, mustard on you, and I'm going to put the tomato all over you, and push like that deep pressure on the joints. And that would be a really calming way to give them that sensory input without it being a messy thing. Because some kids are more resistant, but almost all kids will go out and dig a muddy trench, like to make a river in the backyard. Right. For something. So if he likes to build things, that's a great thing, is some buy some little toy boats and let him dig a trench in the backyard in the mud and let him make some roads in there, or bulldozers, things like that. Yeah. And so I would say work it in there kind of slyly.
Great advice. Well, Leslie, thank you so much. Tell us really quickly, because we are out of time, tell us about your book and the Homegrown Preschooler and some of the resources that you offer.
The Homegrown Preschooler was our first book, and it is kind of a child development manual. And so that book is a great book if you want to know what's developmentally appropriate, mm-hmm. and how to set up your house, how to set up your schedule. Like if you're starting from ground zero with a preschooler, it's a great book to read. Mm-hmm. After we wrote that, we wrote A Year of Playing Skillfully, which is for children 3 to 7. So it extends farther out into kindergarten for older children as well. And so so A Year of Playing Skillfully is a full planned out curriculum for you. It has your menu of activities so that you can kind of read your child every morning and mm-hmm. choose those things. We have a whole system to keep you organized and on top of it. And after we wrote that, so many mothers loved our rhythm and the routine of what we were doing that they begged us to write the summer months as okay. well. So we wrote A Summer of Playing Skillfully. And we also have a planner to keep it all organized. So those are the things that we have at our website at thehomegrownpreschooler.com. Okay. We also have a podcast called Playing Skillfully. And so you can find us on iTunes.
All right. Well, we will put links to those things in the show notes as we always do. Thank you so much, Leslie, for your wisdom and just your input. It's so much fun to get to hear. I really, really, really desperately miss the preschool years with my kids. I wish I could go back. It does go so fast. You know, for you moms whose kids are still really little, it goes, I know people tell you this all the time. People told me this from the beginning. It goes so fast. Enjoy it while it lasts. It goes so fast. And somehow every year it goes faster. I don't know how that works, but it sure does. I can't believe that my sweet, precious baby who was just born yesterday is actually in high school now. I mean, it just blows my mind. But mm-hmm. I certainly miss those preschool years. There's just so much wonder and creativity and development going on in their brains that you can see. I mean, you can see it every day. And just the, you know, when their eyes light up because they just discovered something new and they ask a million questions, and it's just so much fun. And so enjoy those years. Don't overwhelm yourself feeling like you need to do all the things, that you need to check all the boxes. Enjoy your kids. Enjoy building that relationship with them. Enjoy allowing them to learn in the way that God created them to learn, because they will do it naturally. You don't need to teach them how to do that. They will do that naturally. So thank you guys for joining us today. We would love it if you would do a couple of things for us. If you would share this podcast with your friends who you know would be encouraged by it, please do that. It's so fun to just know that people are being encouraged by this podcast. And if you are being encouraged by it, we would love for you to go on iTunes and leave a review for the podcast, because that really helps people to learn more about Schoolhouse Rocked and about homeschooling, and just get the encouragement that we offer through the Schoolhouse Rocked ministry. So we are out of time for today. But again, Leslie, thank you so much. And we will see you guys back here again next week.